For the next 3-4 weeks or so, we're going to do another little short mini-series on a passage of Scripture over in the book of Revelation chapter 1, focusing on the Lord Jesus saving us as His people. And so I'm excited about us looking at these verses for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And then I am really excited about jumping in and going through the book of Ephesians together. But today, Revelation chapter 1, and our text is verses 5 and 6. To get the context, we will begin reading in verse 1 down through the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of the living God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom, and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. And our text, verse 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Blessed Lord, please come now and preach your sweet, powerful gospel anew to our hearts. Thrill us, O Lord Jesus, with your saving message of life and hope. Renew our hearts to cling to you in simple childlike faith, to throw all the worthless idols away that would seek to capture us, lying to us that they can give us anything good, and that, Lord, we would run to you anew this day, embracing you as our Savior, our Lord. Lord Jesus, save us. Keep saving us. Bless us. Encourage us. We make our prayer crying for your Spirit now to come and open our eyes to understand and to see and to have a heart drawn to love you, Lord Jesus. In Christ we pray. Amen. How does the Lord Jesus save his people? We know Jesus is the Savior. Well, how does he do it? If you are here and you are not a Christian, this message is for you. He sent me here this day and brought you here to hear his voice, and those who hear will live. If you are here and you are a Christian, this message is for you. Look what God has done. See anew and afresh how he has delivered us from sin, from the guilt and power of sin, from alienation with our God. He has delivered us from the emptiness and meaninglessness of life apart from the living God. He has removed the burden of our guilt. He has delivered us from the power of remaining sin. He gives us in his Son a clean conscience before God and men. He has adopted us into his family. All of this is because of being united in simple childlike faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But exactly how does Christ save us? This series will focus our attention and hopefully sharpen our understanding as lovers of Jesus at just how wonderful our Lord God is to give us his Son. John 3:16 indeed is a thrilling verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is in Jesus, by faith in Jesus, by the grace of God alone. But what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? How does Jesus actually save? Today we begin looking at this text in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that describes for us in a summary way the manner in which the Lord Jesus saves his people. In verse 5, we see that this book is not only from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but from God the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ is described here in Revelation chapter 1, and from Jesus Christ, And then we have these three offices that the Lord Jesus holds as the mediator, as the Savior, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. A faithful witness. That's the one we're going to look at today. It will focus on His ministry, His office as our great prophet. The firstborn of the dead summarizes and focuses on His work as the mediator, holding the office of priest. And the last phrase, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the prince of the kings of the earth, focuses on the Lord Jesus as He ministers as our mediator in the office of king. Prophet, priest, and king. That's how Jesus saves His people. All three of these offices at work at once in the life of a child who is rescued and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. What is a witness? This term witness that we have here is an interesting term that in the Greek sounds like another English word. The Greek term here is martus. Or the noun is martyros. And if you use your imagination, it's the term that we get our English word martyr from. A martyr was a person who has been deprived of their life because of their testimony of Jesus. And this term literally means a witness. But you can see how the English term of martyr came from that term. Those who were witnesses of Jesus in the early days of the New Testament church incurred great suffering and persecution. And so they were called martyrs because of their witness, because that was what they were doing. They were holding up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus here is described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, as the faithful witness. A witness is somebody who speaks the truth. A witness is someone who has a testimony. The call to worship that we read earlier today from Acts chapter 3 is a passage that gets at the heart of this matter of Jesus being the faithful witness. As the great prophet that God promised would come in the fullness of time. No, the great prophet is not Muhammad. The great prophet is not Louis Farrakhan. These blasphemous claims we repudiate because Almighty God has revealed to us in Holy Scripture that Jesus of Nazareth is the great prophet. He is the faithful witness. Now, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 3, we want to look at the testimony of Scripture that Jesus indeed is the great prophet. And then we want to look more at this passage that the Apostle Peter quotes from the book of Deuteronomy to try to figure out, well, what exactly does a prophet do? And how does Jesus minister to us? How does He save us as our great prophet? In Acts chapter 3, the context, there was a man who was a lame man, who had been lame since birth. And this man is over 40 years old. He's getting way up there. And he was brought day after day and stationed there at this particular entrance place, going into the temple complex to beg for alms. And so we pick it up in Acts 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." Now, if we just stop there, what is this man doing? He's begging for donations. And here's some people going in, and he asked Peter and John, "You got anything for me today?" And Peter and John look at him, and Peter says, "Look at me." Now, what's the guy thinking? He's thinking, "Oh, this is going to be good. They are really going to give me a nice donation today." And the first thing next he hears is Peter saying, but Peter said, look at verse 5. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. We don't know if he had a cup or what he had or just his hand, but if it was a hand, he probably held out both hands thinking, I want to make sure I get it all. This is going to be good. And then the first thing out of Peter's mouth next, surely his heart just fell. Peter said, "I have no silver and gold." And the guy must have just been like a balloon, just suddenly, pop. You know, he goes, "Oh, for crying out loud. Why are you wasting my time? Silver and gold, I have none. I don't have any silver and gold to give you." But he goes on immediately, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." This guy had never heard anything like that. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. This man has never walked in his life. What a miracle. This man has never been able to stand on his own two feet. What an amazing, supernatural, instant work Almighty God did. This man immediately was able to stand. But notice, another miracle attends it. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. Have you ever seen a little child learn how to walk? And if you've ever either been bedridden yourself or been around people who are bedridden, they are very unsteady on their feet, even people who have learned to walk. If you don't walk for a long time, you don't just get up and start walking, let alone leaping. But the Lord restored this man, not only so that physically he was able to walk, but his body was able to do so immediately. Well, what did he do? And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, and why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Same word. We're witnesses. We're testifying. We're telling you the truth. Verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, talking about what they did to Jesus. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So that's the quote now from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God having raised up his servant, talking about Jesus, being raised from the dead, he sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And so here Peter preaches the gospel. He is a witness to Jesus Christ. He says, if you want to have life, if you want to have your sins blotted out, you must turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and embrace him. And notice what he says. He says, you better listen to him. You better listen to him. You better heed him. And he quotes here from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him. Well, we'll come back to Acts 3 in just a minute, but I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we want to look at this passage where we have this promise in the Old Testament that in the fullness of time, God would send the great prophet. And while you're turning there, you remember that when John the Baptist started his public ministry, the Pharisees sent messengers to John, and they said, who are you? What right do you have to be baptizing people? Who are you? Are you Messiah? Are you Elijah? And one of the options was, are you the prophet? Well, where did they get that from? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 18. And here we have Moses giving instructions to God's people as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And the Lord said, now listen, when you go into the promised land, you need to be very careful that you don't learn to live life, to practice the decisions of life like the pagans, like the heathen do. But you're to live your life in a way that pleases God. Look at verse 9 of Deuteronomy 18. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. One of the things that the Canaanite peoples practiced was a thing called child sacrifice, where they would offer up their little children to these pagan gods. And so the Lord says, that's not the way you're to live. He keeps going. Anyone who practices divination. What was divination? Well, it was where people would go to people who were sorcerers and so forth, witches, and they would try to figure out how the future was going to unfold so that they could make decisions about how to live life today. And he says, that's not the way you're to live. You're not to make decisions about who you are and what's right and wrong on the basis of how the pagans view life and how they live. He goes on, or tells fortunes, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you are about to dispossess. Listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord says, how do you know how to live? Don't listen to the false teachers, to the leaders of these pagan nations, to tell people what's right and wrong and how to make decisions of life. Look at verse 15. He says, when you go into the land, here's who you're to listen to. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Moses says, in the fullness of time, the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like me. A prophet like me. A unique prophet is going to come in the fullness of time. He's the one you need to listen. Verse 16. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly. You remember when God came down and gave the Ten Commandments. He summons the whole nation of Israel. And God spoke. And as God's voice boomed on that mountain, what was the mountain doing? Shaking. Every time God would speak, the mountain would shake. That's quite a voice. Boom. And the rocks were breaking in two. And the mountain was burning with fire because of the presence of the Lord speaking His voice. And God had told the people, you can't even come close to God and touch the mountain because of God's holiness. If you do, you will die. And so what did the people do? They said, you know, it's kind of a scary thing to hear God speak directly to us. Who can live? And so what we would prefer, what we're asking, is, Moses, why don't you go? And you get God's word, and then you can just come back and tell us what He says, so we won't die hearing God's voice directly. And so that's what he references here. Verse 16, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. In other words, a prophet of the Lord, whatever if it's the Lord really speaking, his word will always be faithful and true. Well, throughout the Old Testament, we have many prophets. And Peter makes mention of that. He says, from Samuel onward, there were many, many, many prophets. But in the fullness of time, the one appeared who fulfilled this promise. There was a unique prophet who did not speak in riddles and dark sayings, but was like Moses, who spoke with God face to face. And openly, just like Moses up on the mountain. And this was none other than the eternal Son of God who came and took on flesh. And why is the Lord Jesus referred to in John chapter 1 as the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is Jesus referred to as the Word? Down in verse 14, and we have beheld his glory. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. What do you do with words? You communicate. And in the fullness of time, God himself comes as the word to reveal the glory of the Father. And so, let's turn back to Acts 3 now. Peter emphasizes that you better listen to this prophet. If you want to live, you'll listen to the Word from God. You'll embrace the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word that reveals the living Word. Jesus is that great prophet. Well, why do we need Jesus as our great prophet? And, you know, it's fascinating. I look back and it's gone by quickly. I can't believe that I'm going to be turning 65 years old this summer. That's crazy. You know, how did that happen? And it seems like just yesterday, I can close my eyes and I'm sitting in a Sunday school class that my mama was teaching. And I'm just a little boy, you know, about that tall. And I can hear my mama reading the little child's catechism. Henry, why do you need Jesus as your prophet? And I can hear little Henry answering, quoting the little child's catechism, and I didn't understand it at the time, but oh, how true that little catechism summary question is. Why do I need Jesus as my prophet? Now, I'll tell you up front, it really isn't a flattering answer, okay? But it sure is true. Why do I need Jesus as my prophet? Because I am ignorant. I am ignorant. I, left to myself, don't know who God is. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's right and wrong. I don't know how to decide the issues of life. Left to myself, I am ignorant. But praise God, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son to save His people. And this passage in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 describes Jesus in terms of how He saves us, how He ministers the gospel to us. And the first thing in this passage that we see is He is the faithful witness. He's the one who comes and speaks the Word of God, the truth of God to us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that not only Jesus Himself is the great prophet and the Word of His mouth, you know, there's some people who think that the words in the Bible that are written in red in the New Testament, that those are the words that we really, really need to pay attention to. And it is true. We do need to pay attention to those words. But not just those words. Look with me over in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Jesus tells His apostles that He had many other things that He needed to tell them, but they couldn't bear to understand them or to hear them at that point yet, because it was before He died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and they couldn't understand yet. Notice what He says in John chapter 16. In verse 4, He says, "But I have said these things to you about you're going to suffer, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and therefore I said that you will take what is mine and declare it to you." And so here Jesus announces to His apostles, to His sent ones, that He, after He goes up to heaven, will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will finish His Word, will finish giving all of the rest of Holy Scripture through the apostles and their oversight. The rest of the Word written from the mouth of God would be given for God's people. And so you see, the Word of Holy Scripture is not just the words that Jesus Himself spoke when He walked on this earth. It is that. But it also includes all the words that He gave by His Holy Spirit through His apostles. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And, we'll come back to 1 Peter. Let's look at 2 Peter first. Okay? So, 2 Peter. Alright? Chapter 1, verse 16. Here's what Peter said. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. If it's really from God, that's not where prophecy comes from. If it's from God, if it's true prophecy, where does it come from? It comes from God. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, as the great prophet, he not only spoke when he walked on this earth, but the apostles, they finish speaking the rest of Jesus' word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16, we read, all Scripture is what? It's breathed out by God. Now, some of your translations say it is inspired. And the idea is, when you breathe out, that's what happens when you speak. And so that's why I think this is a better translation than inspire. You know, you're not breathing in. God didn't breathe in. He was speaking. He has breathed out His Word by His Spirit. All Scripture. All Scripture. Every word in the New Testament is breathed out by God. And notice, this doesn't just limit it to the New Testament. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out. Even the Old Testament is God's breathed out word. Not only is all Scripture breathed out by God, but now let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. See, I didn't forget. 1 Peter chapter 1, and here's a passage that teaches us that the Old Testament as well as the New Testament is the Word from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, you can go up the end of verse 7, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation. So it's salvation in Jesus, by faith in Jesus. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, talking about all these Old Testament prophets, who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. We're talking about the Old Testament now. They searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And so these Old Testament prophets, who gave them their message? Who moved them to write? The first five books, the human author was Moses. But who is the ultimate author? It is Almighty God. It is the Spirit of Christ moving the prophets of old to write and speak God's very word. It is the Spirit of Christ in them indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And so, all of Scripture, these 66 books, is the word of the great prophet. It is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes in the fullness of time now as the living word in fulfillment of this written word. Well, not only does the Lord Jesus Christ reveal to us in Holy Scripture that He dispels our ignorance by giving us a written word, But you know what else He does? He gives us His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ who reveals truth to us. Let's look at two passages. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we have a passage that describes for us how to become a Christian and how to live as a Christian. Look in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how does Jesus speak? He's on a throne up in heaven. Every time the Word of God is read or heard or faithfully preached from a pulpit or faithfully shared in your homes or in the workplace, Jesus is speaking His written Word. And He does so by His blessed Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus comes and He's the one who speaks to us by His Spirit through the Holy Scriptures. How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, the Lord describes for us a fascinating truth about Jesus saving His people. And here we have a reference now to Him ministering His work of salvation, saving His people, as the great prophet. He comes by His Spirit speaking His Word, the Holy Scriptures, to the hearts of His people. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Here it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ saving people by His grace, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says down in verse 17. He came, talking about Christ, and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Now, how did Jesus come and preach to the people there in Ephesus? He didn't come physically because He was already on His throne up in heaven. But whenever the apostles and ever the people that came after them opened the Scriptures and read and faithfully explained the Word of God, Jesus came by His Spirit using the Holy Scriptures and spoke to the hearts of God's people. And so that's how Jesus ministers as the faithful witness. And if you are a Christian, you have been saved by Jesus. You have heard the voice of the great prophet. He has called you to repent and believe in Him. It maybe was a pastor. It maybe was somebody on the radio. It maybe was your mama. It maybe was your granny. It maybe was a stranger who shared the truth of God's Word. But that's the work of Jesus. And a time came when you heard Him calling you to believe in Him. God tells us who He is. He's our Creator and Sustainer and Lawgiver and the only Redeemer. He tells us who we are. We're fallen in Adam and we have sin, and Jesus is the only one who can take it away. He tells us the gospel that if we repent and believe in Jesus, He will forgive us. He continues to lead us as our great prophet, telling us how to think and live life as His children, in our homes, in the workplace, recreation, every facet of life. The great prophet is growing us and instructing us. Jesus is the great prophet. And a Christian is somebody who has heard the gospel. And we have run to Jesus that we might have life. And we continue to hunger to hear Him speak His very word, the Bible. The Word of God is precious to us. Now, I had several other passages I wanted us to look at, but we don't have time. We were going to look at Psalm 22, and we're just going to briefly, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to see how Jesus not only ministers to us, calling us to Himself to become a Christian, but that's how we continue to exist as a Christian. Jesus continues to speak to our hearts. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I, in a quote from Psalm 22 now, I will tell of your name to my brothers. Jesus says, I will tell of your, the Father's name, to who? My brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And so when we gather to worship, Jesus comes and by His Spirit speaks to us through Holy Scripture, revealing more of the Father's name to revive our hearts so that we again see the beauty of Jesus and how we need Him to be our Savior. And we just say, Lord Jesus, I love You and I trust in You. And I want to learn more of You. I want to learn what You love so that that's what I'll love. And I want to learn what You hate so that's what I'll hate in my own life. And we'll never outgrow delighting to hear the voice of Jesus. That's how we live as God's people. We feed upon the Word of God. That's what keeps us going. That's what revives us. That's what instructs us. That's what guards us. That's what reclaims us. Jesus ministering to us as our great prophet. You see, in a very real sense, a person couldn't become a Christian without Jesus calling us unto Himself. And I couldn't continue as a Christian without Jesus continually coming by His Spirit and taking the Word of God and reviving us to cling to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. That's what the great prophet is at work doing. Well, what happens to people who don't listen? They perish. What happens to people who say, nah, I don't want to listen to that voice. I'd like to do my own thing. Well, read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's summed up in this phrase, emptiness of emptiness, all is emptiness, says the preacher. That's what happens to people who don't listen. The chaos and turmoil of sin, the weight and burden of guilt, and trying to drown it out with either illicit sex or illicit drugs or some other method of just ease the pain. Oh, the only one who can wash our sins away, the only one who can show us the good path, is Jesus. Listen to Him. Well, what do we need to learn from this? Well, first of all, don't you love Jesus, the living Word, and His written Word? Doesn't it cause us to say, you know, I really need to feed constantly on the Word of God. And if you're reading the Bible every day, keep doing it. And if you have thought you've gotten too busy to do so, wake up call. You need the voice of the great prophet to keep you from going off the road of life. What happens when you go to sleep at the wheel? Oh, that's a wonderful experience, isn't it? Feels so good, just catch a few winks. That's not the place you want to go to sleep. Well, that's how life is. And the Lord has given us His Word that we might know the good paths and live in them. And so if you are a lover of Jesus, praise His name that we have heard His voice and we want to continue to feed upon His Word. We're going to sing shortly, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And as we sing this hymn, I want you to say in your heart, yes, Lord Jesus, I do delight to trust in You and to keep trusting in You. Like the tomb of Lazarus, we were dead, and He's called us to life. And He revives us over and over and over. Secondly, we have the joy of sharing that message of hope and life with other people. The Lord gives us the privilege of shining forth Jesus and speaking of Jesus to others. Thirdly, we desire to teach our children to listen to the voice of the great prophet. You know, there's a thing in our culture that's big called entertainment. Anybody ever heard of entertainment? You know, movies, music, you know, it's just entertainment. And what does entertainment do? Well, that's just for fun. But you need to understand something. That these entertainers, they're prophets. These entertainers in Hollywood, every single one of them, are prophets. And they're speaking, they're preaching. And the pulpit they use is the big screen. The pulpit they use are the songs that they produce. And they're preaching to you. They're saying, here's the way you ought to think. Here's the way you ought to view yourself. Here's the way you ought to view life. Be careful. Be careful who you listen to. Listen only to the great prophet. And when you watch a movie or you listen to a song, hold it up to the word of the great prophet. And if it doesn't fit with what he says, even though they maybe have dressed it up, even though they maybe have disguised it as just simple entertainment, understand they're preaching. Be on guard. Be on guard. And then the last thing, think about formal education. Think about formal education. The great prophet has the words of life. You know, it's fascinating when you go back and look at the history of Harvard University. In 1643, that's back a few years, Harvard University had as the first of their rules in their college a rule that went like this. Let every student be pressed to understand and know that the main goal of his life is to know Jesus Christ and to lay Him in the bottom as the foundation of all learning and knowledge, And they even quoted a scripture verse, John 17:3, where Jesus said, "And this is life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and believe in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." We live in a culture that has stopped its ears to the great prophet. And we are going to die if we don't start listening to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. He alone has the words of life. The Holy Scriptures is the written word. And if we would hear the written word by the Spirit of God, it will lead us to the living word, and then to know Him and follow Him in the paths that He has revealed in Holy Scripture. Praise God that Jesus came to save people from their sin. Because left to myself, I am ignorant. But praise God, Jesus makes us wise in Him to have salvation and life and good. You see, we don't even know what good is apart from the great prophet. We live in a culture where everything is being turned on its head. Good is called evil. And evil is called good if you don't know the great prophet. Oh, how we need Jesus. Oh, what a glorious Savior He is. He is at work saving His people. Listen what the great prophet said. And you can turn with me in your Bibles. I want you to see where this is. Matthew chapter 11. This is what we close with. Verse 25. "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was Your gracious will. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we thank You that You are at work saving Your lost sheep. And You do so as our great prophet, priest, and king. And Lord, we have learned today that You save us by speaking Your word, the Holy Scriptures, to our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, calling us out of death into life to repent and believe in You. Lord, we confess that we are ignorant. We don't know what's right and wrong. We live in a culture where the murder of little unborn babies is referred to as choice. We live in a culture where the perversion of sexuality, of people sleeping together, men and women, is viewed as just a normal thing. But You say it is the sin called fornication. Lord, we live in a culture where marriage vows are just set aside and husbands and wives are unfaithful to each other. Lord, You say that's sin. Lord, You have told us that You intended sexuality to be enjoyed in the bounds of marriage between a man, a husband, and a woman, a wife, a male and a female. And Lord, we live in a culture that no longer understands even what gender is. Because we have stopped our ears against You, the great prophet. Lord, You have told us You are the only Savior. And Lord, we live in a culture that says, no, that's not true. It doesn't matter what your religion is. All religions are equal. Lord, we need You to speak Your word to us and to our children and to this people in this nation once again, Lord. Be our great prophet. Speak Your word, the Holy Scriptures, by Your blessed Holy Spirit to our hearts, Lord, or we will die. And Lord, we gladly say to You this day, Lord, we hear You and we are Yours. We want to follow You, Lord Jesus. You alone can wash us clean. You alone can give us peace with You through Your precious blood. Oh Lord, write these things upon our hearts. And bless now as we continue to worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.